Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldhari, and today Maseches Nedarim, Daf Chav Hey, the third parak, Arba Nedarim. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, Ravina asked Rav Ashi on the previous daf why the declaration of having seen multitudes is considered an exaggeration, when perhaps the one who vowed saw an anthill, called them like those who live Mitzrayim, and thereby swore truthfully. Rav Ashi answered that people swear according to how they are naturally understood, and not according to their own private meaning. The Gemara challenges this from a brice which teaches that when a person swears in basin, he's told, "Have you yodei shlo atanai shabolibcha anu mashbin oscha ella al datenu v'al das basin." Know that you're not swearing according to some condition in your mind, rather according to our and the court's understanding. Is this not to preclude a private intent such as having given wood chips to his lender, which he has termed coins, whereby he can claim he swore truthfully as having paid coins? Now this implies that if not for the warning, it is assumed a person does swear according to his own understanding of the words he uses. The Gemara answers that the above warning was meant to preclude trickery, like the incident of the cane of Rava. A borrower who needed to swear to have paid filled a hollow cane with coins and handed it to the unsuspecting lender at the time of his Shavua and was thereby able to truthfully swear that he had given coins to the lender. The furious lender smashed the cane and the coins spilled out, showing how he had technically sworn truthfully. Point number two, the Gemara attempts again to prove that a person may swear according to his own private intention. When Klal Yisrael swore to accept the Torah in Arvas Moav, Moshe Rabbeinu warned them, "Have yodim shalal daitchem ani mashbi eschem, ela al daiti val dasa makom." Know that I'm not having you swear according to your own intent, rather according to my intent and Hashem's intent. Now, was this not to preclude their calling an idol by the name God, and then swear with the intent to follow its command? Now, this implies that if not from Moshe's statement, people do swear according to their own understanding. The Gemara answers that idols are actually called gods in the Torah, so it's a naturally acceptable meaning of the term that Moshe had to preclude from. After the Gemara rejects numerous other terms that Moshe could have utilized to avoid the above warning, the Gemara said he could have told them to swear to keep the laws of idolatry and the entire Torah, or to keep all 613 mitzvos. The Gemara agrees that he could have used these terms, but chose the simplest method. And point number three, the next Mishnah's listing of cases of Nidrei Shkagos, unintentional Nedarim, it states, Ra'osan ochlin te'enim, va'amar hari alechem karbim. He saw people eating his figs, and he said, they are forbidden like a karbim too. V'nimsu avi va'achiv v'hiyu imahen acherim. And they were found to be his father and brothers, against whom he would not have made the neder, and others were with them. Beishamai say that although the figs are permitted to his relatives, they are forbidden to the others. Beisila disagree and say they are permitted to everyone, since the neder was partially void regarding his father and brothers. The Gemara quotes another application of this concept in a mission about one who made a neder, forbidding some food such as meat or wine, on himself, which states, Poskim b'Shabbos v'yamim tovim. We can make a Pesach form with Shabbos Yantav, asking him if he would have made the neder, if he had known it's forbidden to afflict oneself on Shabbos Yantav. Originally, they said, Osan yamim mutarim, Ushar kol yamim asurim. Those days, referring to Shabbos Yantav, were permitted, and the rest of the days of the year are forbidden, until Rabbi Kiva came and taught, Neder shehuter miksasa uhuter kuil. A neder that is nullified in part is nullified in its entirety. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, Ravina asked Rav Ashi on the previous daf why the declaration of having seen multitudes is considered an exaggeration, when perhaps the one who vowed saw an anthill and called them like those who left Mitzrayim and thereby swore truthfully. Rav Ashi answered that people swear according to how they are naturally understood and not according to their own private meaning. The Gemara challenges this from a brice which teaches that when a person swears in basin, he's told, "Have you yodei shlo atanai shabolibcha anu mashbin oscha ella al datenu v'al das basin." Know that you're not swearing according to some condition in your mind, rather according to our and the court's understanding. Is this not to preclude a private intent such as having given wood chips to his lender, which he has termed coins, whereby he can claim he swore truthfully as having paid coins? Now this implies that if not for the warning, it is assumed a person does swear according to his own understanding of the words he uses. The Gemara answers that the above warning was meant to preclude trickery, like the incident of the cane of Rava. A borrower who needed to swear to have paid filled a hollow cane with coins and handed it to the unsuspecting lender at the time of his Shavua and was thereby able to truthfully swear that he had given coins to the lender. The furious lender smashed the cane and the coins spilled out, showing how he had technically sworn truthfully. Point number two, the Gemara attempts again to prove that a person may swear according to his own private intention. When Klal Yisrael swore to accept the Torah in Arvas Moav, Moshe Rabbeinu warned them, "Have yodim shalal daitchem ani mashbi eschem, ela al daiti val dasa makom." Know that I'm not having you swear according to your own intent, rather according to my intent and Hashem's intent. Now, was this not to preclude their calling an idol by the name God, and then swear with the intent to follow its command? Now, this implies that if not from Moshe's statement, people do swear according to their own understanding. The Gemara answers that idols are actually called gods in the Torah, so it's a naturally acceptable meaning of the term that Moshe had to preclude from. After the Gemara rejects numerous other terms that Moshe could have utilized to avoid the above warning, the Gemara said he could have told them to swear to keep the laws of idolatry and the entire Torah, or to keep all 613 mitzvos. The Gemara agrees that he could have used these terms, but chose the simplest method. And pointing with me, the next Mishnah's listing of cases of Nidrei Shkagos, unintentional Nedarim, it states, Ra'osan ochlin te'enim, va'amar har yalechem karbim. He saw people eating his figs, and he said, they are forbidden like a karbim too. V'nimsu avi va'achiv v'hayu imahen acherim. And they were found to be his father and brothers, against whom he would not have made the neder, and others were with them. Beishamai say that although the figs are permitted to his relatives, they are forbidden to the others. Beisila disagree and say they are permitted to everyone, since the neder was partially void regarding his father and brothers. The Gemara quotes another application of this concept in a mission about one who made a neder, forbidding some food such as meat or wine, on himself, which states, Poskim b'Shabbos v'yamim tovim. We can make a pesach form with Shabbos v'yantim, asking him if he would have made the neder, if he had known it's forbidden to afflict oneself on Shabbos v'yantim. Originally, they said, Osan yamim mutarim, Rishar kol yamim asurim. Those days, referring to Shabbos v'yantim, were permitted, and the rest of the days of the year are forbidden, until Rabbi Kiva came and taught, Neder shehuter miksasa uhuter kuil. A neder that is nullified in part is nullified in its entirety. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Chaf Hey, and our standard Siman is a silver anniversary, a 25th year anniversary. So here goes. When the deceitful borrower gave his shocked wife his hall cane filled with coins as a gift for the 25th anniversary, she made him swear to accept the Torah and be honest based on her intent and not his, and promised to never make another neder forbidding food to a group of people, since his last one unknowingly included his father and brother. Once again, slow motion. When the deceitful borrower gave his shocked wife his hollow cane filled with coins as a gift for their 25th anniversary? That must be more duff. Chav hey. When the deceitful borrower gave his shocked wife his hollow cane filled with coins as a gift for their 25th anniversary, which reminds us of Brisa Tal, that when a person swears in basin, he's told, know that you're not swearing according to some condition in your mind, rather according to our and the court's understanding. This was meant to preclude trickery, like the incident of the cane of Rava. A borrower who needed to swear to have paid filled a hollow cane with coins and handed to the unsuspecting lender at the time of his Shavua, and was thereby able to truthfully swear that he had given coins to the lender. The furious lender smashed the cane and the coins spilled out, showing how he had technically sworn truthfully. So when the deceitful borrower gave his shocked wife his hollow cane filled with coins as a gift for the 25th anniversary, she made him swear to accept the Torah and be honest based on her intent, not his, which reminds us, when Klal Yisrael swore to accept the Torah in Arvas Mo, Moshe Rabbeinu warned them, Hevi yodim shelo adaitechem ani mashbi etzchem, el adaiti va'adasa makam. Know that I'm not having you swear according to your own intent, rather according to my intent and Hashem's intent. So when the deceitful borrower gave his shocked wife his hollow cane filled with coins as a gift for their 25th anniversary, she made him swear to accept the Torah and be honest based on her intent, not his, and promised to never make another neder forbidding food to a group of people, since his last one unknowingly included his father and brother. Which reminds us, in the next Mishnah's listing the case of Nidrei Shkagos, unintentional Nedarim, it states, if a person saw people eating his figs and he said, they're forbidden like a carbon to you, and they were found to be his father and brothers, against whom he would not have made the neder, and others who were with them, Beishamai say that although the figs are permitted to his relatives, they are forbidden to the others. Beisila disagree and say they are permitted to everyone, since the neder was partially void regarding his father and brothers. And we learn in another mission, Rabbi Kiva came and taught, neder shehuter miksasu huter kulo, a neder that is nullified in part is nullified in its entirety. So once again, when the deceitful borrower gave his shocked wife his hollow cane filled with coins as a gift for their 25th anniversary, she made him swear to accept the Torah and be honest based on her intent, not his, and promised to never make another neder forbidding food to a group of people, since his last one unknowingly included his father and brother. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf chafal. So the siman daf chafal is a car pronounced ka by people from Boston. So here goes. The electric ka dealer, that must be one daf. Chafalov, car, ka. The electric ka dealer who made a motivational neder that he won't sell his newest model for less than $100,000. Which reminds us, the mission gives an example of Nidrei Zeruzi, motivational nedarim. If one was selling an item and said, Konam, the proceeds of the sale to me, that I will not sell it for less than a seller, which is 4 dinarim. And the buyer said, Konam she'eni mosi v'cha a shekel, Konam the item to me, if I buy it for more than a shekel, which is 2 dinarim. Shneim rotzim b'shosha dinarim, both are agreeable to the price of 3 dinarim, which is midway between the two. Rava says you can even explain this according to the Rabbanan. Mi katani shneim ratzu, shneim rotzim katani. Does it say they both agreed, meaning they later agreed? It says they both are agreeable, which means all along they were agreeable to the price of 3 denarii, and the neder is invalid because they never intended what they said. So the electric car deal, who made a motivational neder that he won't sell his newest model for less than $100,000, to the customer who made a neder to pay no more than $49,999 minus a bruta, which reminds us, Ravina asked Ravashi, if the seller said in his neder an amount greater than a sella, and the buyer said a neder for an amount less than a shekel, nidra hava or zeruzin hava, is it a legitimate neder or a motivational one? According to the Runz first explanation that the amount means a pruta, which is the smallest coin, the seller meant that he will not accept less than a sella and a pruta, and the buyer meant they will not pay more than a shekel minus a pruta. The question is whether their naming such precise values indicates that they did intend the nedarim literally. So the electric kadi who made a motivational neder that he won't sell his newest model for less than $100,000, to the customer who made a neder to pay no more than $49,999 minus a pruta, soon regretted his rash decision and called his rabbi, who was known to only give a heter on 4 types of nedarim, which reminds us, Rebuta said in the name of Ravasi, Arba nedarim ha'u tzrichin she'elu chochem, these 4 types of nedarim of the mission require a heter of a sage. Rav Yosef told Rav Yudah's statement differently. Ein chochem rosh lahati el kein arba nedarim halu. A sage is not allowed to annul a neder except like these 4 types of nedarim. Only a mistaken circumstance, such as the vower would not have made the neder had he been fully aware of it, is sufficient grounds to annul a neder. This is like the 4 types of nedarim in which the vower never intended to make a neder. The Gemara concludes based on this, Kesavra ein poskim b'charata. He holds, we cannot make an opening with mere regret. Daf Chav Beis. So the Simmer Daf Chav Beis is a cab. So here goes. The cab driver, that must be one Daf Chav Beis. The cab driver got stuck in traffic caused by judges who were reviewing a ledger and examining the actions of a man who made a vow, which reminds us, Rabbi Yana the Elder asked his grandson who made a neder, if you would have known that in Shemayim they open your ledger and examine your actions when you vowed, would you have vowed? The Ron explains that a person who makes a neder gives the impression that he holds himself to be a great person, will not stumble and violate his neder. Therefore, in Shemayim, they scrutinize his deeds to see if his opinion of himself reflects the truth. We don't follow this practice because when one is told the severity of his misdeed, he may profess regret even if he actually does not regret his neder. So the cab driver got stuck in traffic caused by judges who were reviewing a ledger and examining the actions of a man who made a vow. Got so angry that all types of Gehenim dominated him, which reminds us about all the ill effects of cuts of anger, such as all types of Gehenim rule over him, he gets hemorrhoids, and he forgets his learning. So the cab driver got stuck in traffic caused by judges who were reviewing a ledger and examining the actions of a man who made a vow. Got so angry that all types of Gehenim dominated him. And he called his wife and erroneously made a shavua that she may not benefit from him because he thought she stole his GPS, which reminds Rabbi Asi said, Ein niskalkin l'elokei Yisrael, we do not address one who swears by the God of Yisrael to annul his vow, except for one who said, Kona, my wife's benefit from me because she stole my purse or because she hit my child, and it became known that she did not steal it or hit him. Daf Chaf Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Chaf Gimel is Kugelach. So here goes. The Kugelach champ. Kugelach, that must be more Daf Chaf Gimel. The Kugelach champ, who found a Pesach to his neder, forbidding his holding the Kugelach pieces, when he saw how frustrated the rabbis were in trying to find him a Pesach, which reminds us, when Rav Shimon bar Revi saw how pained the rabbis were going back and forth between the sun and the shade, trying to find a valid opening for his neder, he conceived that he would not have made the neder had he known it would cause him this frustration, and that itself became his Pesach. So the Kugelach champ, who found a Pesach to his neder, forbidding his holding the Kugelach pieces, when he saw how frustrated the rabbis were in trying to find him a Pesach, was surprised to see his mother make the pilgrimage to the championship game, given his father's neder forbidding her to come, which reminds us, the Gemara quotes a Brice which states that there was a story with a man who made a neder forbidding his wife from going on a pilgrimage, and she transgressed his will and went on the pilgrimage, and when Rabbi Yossi asked him if he would have made the neder if he would have known she would disobey him, and he responded, no, Rabbi Yossi annulled the neder. So the Kugelach champ, who found a Pesach to his neder, forbidding his holding the Kugelach pieces, when he saw how frustrated the rabbis were in trying to find him a Pesach, was surprised to see his mother make the pilgrimage to the championship game, given his father's neder forbidding her to come, and decided next Rosh Hashanah he'll declare all the dharm he makes should be null, which reminds us. The Gemara says that the next Mishnah is missing text and should read, HaRotzo Shoyiskayim in the Dar of Kol Hashanah, one who wants all his Nedarim to be ineffective the whole year, Yamed Rosh Hashanah V'Yomer, should stand on Rosh Hashanah and say, Kol Neder Shani Asin Lidor Yehe Bato, every Neder I will make should be null. Daf Chaf Dalet. So the Simmer Daf Chaf Dalet is a pitcher. So here goes. The man with a pitcher, that must be one Daf Chaf Dalet, Kad. The man with the picture printed with the words, "I'm not a dog," who had told his friend, "Konami will not benefit from you unless you come and take these pictures of wine for your son." Which reminds us, the Gemara quotes a mission which states, if a person said Konami, then I will not benefit from you. If you do not take for your son a kor of wheat or 2 barrels of wine, then the neder is invalid. Because his friend can say, did you not say this merely for my honor? This itself is my honor to decline your offer. The Gemara explains that in this case, all would agree that the neder was made in seriousness, because the vow would say, I'm not a dog that should benefit from you, and you do not benefit from me. So the man with the picture printed with the words, I'm not a dog, who had told his friend, Konami will not benefit from you unless you come and take these pitchers of wine for your son, was surprised to hear his friend claim he was delayed, traveling through a treacherous jungle. Which reminds us, the Mishnah states, what is the case of Nidri Unasim, forced Nadarim, if one made a neder against his friend that he should eat with him, and he or his son became ill, or he was delayed by a river, then the neder is invalid since the condition was not fulfilled because of circumstances beyond his control. So the man with a picture printed with the words, I'm not a dog, who had told his friend, Konami will not benefit from you unless you come and take these pitchers of wine for your son, was surprised to hear his friend claim he was delayed traveling through a treacherous jungle, who then said, Konami, if I was not stuck behind a snake, like the beam of an all-press. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nidri Havai, what are cases on the Dharm of exaggeration? Amar Konami Mor Isi Bederek Hazek Oy Mitzrayim, Imor Isi Nachash Kekoros Beis Abad. If he says, Konami, if I did not see on this road like the multitudes leaving Mitzrayim, or if I did not see a snake like the beam of an all-press. The Ren notes that these are two distinct cases. In the first, he's exaggerating the truth, they saw many people. In the second, his statement is patently false. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one. Which deputy learned that the case of Nidri Onasim is when a condition was not fulfilled due to circumstances beyond one's control? That's on Daf. Chavdal. Good. Number two. Which deputy learned when one makes a neder, they review his deeds in Shemaim since it indicates he holds of himself so he won't violate his neder? That's on Daf. Chabez. Good. Number three. Which deputy learned Moshe Rabbeinu made Klal Yisrael swear to accept the Torah based on his intent and Hashem's intent? That's on Daf. Good. Number four, which stuff do we have a question? If it's a real nether or nidre zeruzim, if someone is very precise in his nether, that's on Dav. Good. Number five, which stuff do we learn? If someone made a nether forbidding people from eating his figs and he discovered that his father and brother were there, Beisil will hold the nether is null since nether shehuter miksasu huter kulo, that's on Dav. Good. Number six. Which stuff do we have a case of a man who made a neder forbidding his wife from going on a pilgrimage and she disobeyed him and the neder was annulled? That's on Daf. Chaf Gimel. Good. Number seven. Which stuff do we have? The one who does not have the trait of Busha is known that his ancestors did not stand at Har Sinai? That's on Daf. Chaf. Good. Number eight. Which stuff do we basin makes someone swear according to the court's understanding to preclude trickery, like the incident with the cane of Rava? That's on Dav. Chafhei. Good. Number nine. Which stuff do we an example of Nidri Havai exaggerated in a dime is when one said, Konam, if I did not see a snake, like the beam of an olive press? That's on Dav. Chafdal. Good. And number ten. Which of the women, when Rabbi Shimba Rebbe saw how pained the rabbis were not being able to find a Pesach to his neder, that became the basis of the Pesach. That's on Dav. Chav Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.